You're listening to a podcast from Victory. What does a life set apart for God's purposes look like? Discover more in week 3 of our series, Forward.
Right. Good evening and again, happy Mother's Day sa mga special women, okay, that God has given to all of us. God gives us people in our lives to direct us so that we can move forward. Sabi mo sa kanilang forward. Yun yung series natin. God wants us to move ahead, to move forward, not backwards, in our walk with God. And this is really qualities that we want to see through the life of Peter, the Apostle Peter. So the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the first quality of a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now in the next 3 weeks, starting tonight, we'll look at another quality of a disciple. And this is about fishing for people. Particularly, how to fish for people, kailangan mag-share tayo ng gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, kailangan, we need to understand what the gospel is. Now, I want you to do something for me. Okay lang ba yun? I want you to turn to your seatmate, and in the next 30 seconds, I want you to share Einstein's special theory of relativity in the next 30 seconds. Okay? Einstein's theory. Paki-explain ng mabuti Einstein's theory of relativity in the next 30 seconds. Now, sino dito na-explain sa inyo? Meron ba naka-explain? Bibigyan kayo ng reward? Okay? Ni Pastor. Meron? Wala. You know, mahirap mag-explain ng something if you don't understand it, right? It's hard to pass on or to share something you don't understand. It's the same thing with the gospel. We cannot pass on what we do not understand. That's why this evening, yun ang pag-uusapan natin. We need to understand what the gospel is. Kailangan crystal clear, klarong-klaro kung ano yung gospel in order for us to share the gospel to others. Kasi the gospel, maraming tao, there's a survey, many Christians and even non-Christians have heard the gospel and have an idea of what the gospel is. But what does the Bible say? Ano bang biblical meaning and definition? Okay? Ano ba talaga yung gospel? Now, gospel literally means what? Ano ibig sabihin ng gospel? It means good news. Sabi mo yan, good news. So, pag tumama ka sa loto, good news yun, right? Pag na-promote ka, good news. Di ba? Pag nanalo ang, depende kung anong team ka, right? Sino dito ang Cavaliers? Wala masyado. Sino dito ang Golden State? San Antonio? Wala masyado, di ba? Kung nanalo ang team mo, good news sa'yo, right? Kung sinagot ka ng nililigawan mo, good news ba yun? Okay. Diba mga good news? Different good news. But why is the gospel good news? Why is the gospel good news? Now, in order to answer the why, we need to understand first the who. In order to understand the why of the gospel, we need to understand the who of the gospel. Because the gospel is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. And there are three aspects of Jesus' life. The gospel is centered about three things about Jesus' life, okay, about Jesus, to help us understand and help us to pass on para pag naintindihan natin, madali nating i-share to others what the gospel is. And we need to understand these three things: who Jesus Christ is, what He has done for us, and what that means for us. So, yun ang pag-aaral natin tonight. To understand the gospel, we need to understand who Jesus Christ is, what He has done for us, and what that means for all of us. In fact, in order for us to understand this, the gospel, the life of Jesus Christ, okay, pupunta tayo sa first, very first sermon that Apostle Peter preached. the very first sermon na pinreach ni Paul, ni Peter rather, during the time, okay, in Pentecost. So we can look at it in Acts chapter 2. We'll look at Acts chapter 2, and I want everyone to stand up as we read our text for this evening, verses 22 to 24 and verse 36 to 38. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Now, verse 36 says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Lord, bless the preaching of your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and take your seats. You know, very briefly, Peter, this is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Pentecost. It was after the harvest, they would celebrate. They would offer a feast to thank God. So this was a Feast of Pentecost or harvest. And many people are gathered in Jerusalem. So maraming tao sa Jerusalem. And during this time, if you read Acts chapter 1 and beginning of Acts chapter 2, you will see that they were praying in the upper room. Remember, the apostles and the 120 were praying in the upper room, and it was shaken, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in power. Tongues of fire rested upon them, and they began to speak in tongues, and they understood one another in different languages. And the people thought, there was a crowd there. The people thought na lasing sila. They were drunk. And Peter stood up, okay? Among all the disciples, he stood up and preached this sermon to the people who were listening, okay? So this was the setting of this preaching. And it has been just 50 days, somewhere around that, 50 days after Jesus was crucified and was raised from the dead. So, this was very fresh news. Okay? The death and the resurrection of Jesus was fresh news to those who came to Jerusalem. But 50 days is roughly around, somewhere around March. Okay? Ano ba yung latest news yung March? Maybe the earthquakes that happened, right? There were twin earthquakes that happened in Batangas, if I'm not mistaken, right? So everyone understood that there was this teacher, rabbi, a good teacher who performed signs and wonders and miracles, and somehow he was arrested and crucified. And there were rumors that his body was gone, that people were claiming that he rose from the dead. So the people understand, ito yung balita, ito yung chismis. And everyone understood what transpired, his death and apparent resurrection. So when Peter stood up, this was the fact. It was not just, you know, a story, but this was historical fact for the people who were listening. All right? So, based on this, Peter preaches these three aspects of the gospel that we need to grasp in order for us to be able to pass it along, in order for us to share this, the three parts of the gospel message that you need to comprehend, you need to understand so that you can share it to someone else that God will lead you. Now, hopefully, after this preaching, pwede niyong mag-share sa ibang tao, sa mga kaklase nyo, sa mga ka-opisina nyo, o sa pamilya nyo. Now, pag next week naman, yung Einstein's Theory of Relativity ang tuturo natin. No, joke lang. Mas mahirap yon. But, you know what? Peter preached, first and foremost, about who Jesus is. who Jesus Christ is, his identity. Now, he said, Jesus of Nazareth was attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Now, we understand who this Jesus Christ is. Sino ba to? He was a real historical person that lived and died and was raised from the dead. But one thing you need to understand, that Jesus of Nazareth was God who became man. Peter was underlying two things about Jesus' identity. First, he wanted to show that Jesus was a man. The humanity of Jesus Christ. The humanity of Jesus Christ. That he was not just some God who, you know, I mean, in Greek mythology, there were gods who took the form of man, but they're really God, but or something like that, right? Jesus became man, 100% human, and 100% God at the same time. Now, that's, of course, it's a mystery, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but his humanity was attested, what, because of the way he lived and the way he experienced all human, okay, experiences. If you read the Gospels, Jesus became hungry, right? Nagutom si Jesus. Jesus became tired. Jesus became sleepy. Natulog, right? I mean, Jesus felt, felt sorrow, felt angry, felt joy, right? He experienced all human emotions. He was tempted in every way. He experienced so that he can be sympathetic. Para maintindihan niya tayo. He's not just a God out there who's saying, oh, okay, sige, bahala na kayo, but I don't really understand what you're going through. No, he fully understands you and me. He fully understands where you are right now in your situation, in the problems you're facing, in the anxiety, okay, in the frustration, in the disappointment, when you feel betrayed. He understands what it means to be betrayed. He understands what we're going through. That's part of his humanity. He experienced all of these things for us. He experienced all of it, except one. And that is sin. He lived a sinless life. Jesus was man. He was God who became man. And Peter makes that point. The humanity of Jesus Christ is the first thing you need to understand about Jesus' identity. But secondly, it shows also his divinity. Jesus' divinity, as attested by his mighty works, by his signs and wonders and miracles. We just came from a series called Beyond the Signs. We looked at several miracles of Jesus Christ, whether it's changing water to wine, whether it's walking in water, right? Whether it's calming the storm or healing the paralytic or the blind, and all of these things. Miracles, controlling nature, powerful signs. We know that he is God. His divinity and his humanity together is very important. His divinity and humanity. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. He is God who became man for us. And he lived a sinless life for you and me. Which leads me to the second part of the gospel, which is what Jesus did for us. Why did Jesus have to live a sinless life? Why is that? Bakit ba kailangan yun? Well, let's look at verse 23. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, who crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Now it's interesting, when Peter was saying this Jesus was delivered according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. In other words, Jesus being crucified was not an accident. It was not because people decided, or the conspiracy of Judas and Rome and all of this thing, they conspired. No, it was according to the plan of God, to the foreknowledge and the plan of God, that God set things in motion. In fact, I think Galatians, it says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to die for us. In the perfect timing of God, Jesus came here on earth to bring salvation. And He lived a sinless life that you and I were supposed to live, were designed to. But the reason why Jesus was delivered and crucified, He had to die for you and for me. He lived a sinless life, but He had to die for you and for me. Not for Himself. He had to die for us. Now, He died not because He was a sinner, but because He became a ransom for all sinners. Okay? He died not because He was a sinner or He sinned, but as a ransom for all the sinners. Now, let me read Romans chapter 6, verse 23 here. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why did Jesus have to live a sinless life? Because we could not. It says here, the wages of sin, ang sweldo, ang kabayaran ng isang kasalanan of sin is one sin, not many sins, is death. Parang hirap naman yun, Pastor. One sin is enough for death. Now, when talk about death, I'm talking about spiritual death or being separated from God. Spiritual, a moral separation, a spiritual separation from God. But if we are not reconciled while we are here on earth, while God is giving us a chance, we will be eternally separated. Eternal death in hell, in torment. The wages of sin, one sin. And sometimes you may think, you know, I don't know if you ever thought this, pero ako nung una ko nabasa to, parang hindi yata fair. Pang isang kasalanan lang, equivalent to eternal death or eternal separation from God. Why does not God give us a chance? Diba? Can you just, kantaya tayo, diba? Diba? Wala bang chance? Isang kasalanan lang? Or sometimes you may think, eh, mas maraming mas masamang tao kaysa sa akin. Even if I sinned, I'm not a murderer. Right? Or, kung nagnakaw ka man ng konti, mas maraming ninakaw. Right? Now, let me ask a question. How much do you need to steal in order to be called a thief? Para matawag na magnanakaw. Ano, gano'ng kadaming pera ang kailangan mong nakawin? Of course, yung mga may Senate inquiry na nagnakaw ng 100 million and above or 1 billion, right? Siguro yun, pwede siguro yung sentensyahan, right? Ng matindi. Pero kung piso lang yung sinakaw, right? Kung piso lang yung nanakaw, equivalent lang ba yun? Well, in God's standards, there is no difference between stealing, at least in the standards of righteousness. There is no difference between stealing 100 million and 1 peso. Because standard ang gagawin natin to steal in order for that act to be called stealing? Right? Anong difference between 100 million and 1 million? Or between 1 million and 100,000? Or 100,000 with 1,000? Or 1,000 with 100 and 100 with 1? Diba? Yes, yung amount, malaki yung difference. But the only difference is between the man who has stolen and the man who has not stolen. Because God said in His commandments, hindi naman niya sinabing, thou shall not steal if it is above 1 peso. Okay? Pag less than 1 peso, it is not stealing. He did not say that. He said, thou shall not steal. So the only difference is between a man who stole and the man who does not stole. Now let me ask a question. You may not have stolen money, but how many of you copied something in the internet? How many of you plagiarized something in your research? Is that enough? In the standards of God. Wow. Because what does Jesus say in Matthew? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the standards of God is perfection. The only difference is between a man who has sinned and a man who did not sin. Just like the only difference is not in the amount of money you stole, but the only difference for you to be called a thief is you have stolen. If you have not stolen, then you're not a thief. If you have not sinned, you're not a sinner. Now question, how many of you have not yet sinned? Raise your hand. That's what Paul says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lahat tayo. Whether it's in our thoughts, our words, or our deeds. But pastor, ang hirap naman nun. Eh, hindi ba pwedeng balansehin ko na lang? I'll do a lot of good works to balance off the bad things I've done. Okay? I'll go to many church service. I'll go to the small group, the victory group, Bible study. I will give more money. I will go to the community service and help the poor, you know, and all of these things. Right? I mean, all of those are good. Okay? But it does not change the fact that you're still a sinner. The issue is not whether you have done good. The issue is, anong mangyayari sa sin mo? It has to be paid for. The wages of sin is what? It's death. And all of us deserve death. That's why someone sinless has to take our place. Even if I wanted to take your place, I'm as guilty. But someone sinless took our place and says, I'm gonna die for you. I lived a sinless life, and I'm gonna exchange my sinless life for your sinful life. That's why He became a ransom for all who have sinned. So at the cross, it was the most painful, brutal, gruesome thing that any human could ever experience, because the entire sin of the entire world was placed on Him. The Father had to look away. So, He died for us, not because He sinned, but He became a ransom for many. But you know what? The Bible says, let's look at this text again. Okay? The wages of sin is death. But Jesus did not sin. That's why the Bible says, death could not hold Him down. Death could not hold Jesus down. Because death has no hold in Jesus Christ. He had no sin. when he died, it was not because of sin. He gave his life. When he said to the Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Remember, no one had authority to take his life. That's what he told Pilate. "But I give it on my own." Jesus gave his life. That's why he died. It's not because of sin. He gave it for you and for me. But because death had no hold, death had to release him after 3 days. That's what Peter tells us. Death could not hold him down. And after 3 days, he got the keys of death and hell and held it up. And he now holds those things. So that anyone who would come to him, he could give eternal life. You don't have to fear death anymore because he holds the keys of death and hell. For anyone who trusts and put his faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. Amen? That's what he has done. The cross of Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He died, and after 3 days, he rose again, proving that he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now, we know who Jesus is and what he did for us. So what? What does it mean for us now? Okay, I know. People know that Jesus Christ died, he lived, and he died, and he rose again. But it's so much different from Jose Rizal dying, knowing and understanding that Jose Rizal died for the Philippines. The difference is Jesus rose from the dead, proving that what he said is true, that he is the Son of God. All his claims that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the only way, the truth and the life. Everything he declared became true because he rose from the dead. So what does it mean for you and for me? Verse 36, "Let all Israel therefore know for certain that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ." This Jesus whom you crucified. Now it's interesting. This Jesus whom you crucified. In fact, it's a previous ano ni Peter, diba? Tayo na crucify in the hands of lawless men. It's our sin. It's our sins that crucified Jesus Christ in the hands of Pilate and the Roman soldiers and those who crucified and tortured Jesus Christ. It was us. It was our sin through the hands of those people. But because he became obedient, even death, unto death, God gave him authority and rulership. In fact, this Jesus, God made him both Lord, which means in the Greek, it's Kurios, Lord, Master of all things, and Christ. Okay? Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay? Jesus Christ, hindi niya first name and last name. Because first name lang lahat ng mga niyan, di ba? Wala namang mga last name. They're known by either their trade or their father's trade. Di ba? Peter, the fisherman. Okay? Or the son of thunder. They're known by their trade or their father's. So Jesus Christ. Christ is a title given to Jesus. Christ or Christos means the anointed one or the Messiah or the Savior. Jesus has been made both Lord and Savior. Lord and Christ. That means he is sovereign over all things. That means he can save you from all things. That's why Philippians says, "God has given us no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ by which we can be saved." We can call only on the name above all names. You know what that means? That means every problem and every situation you will face, Jesus is above that situation and problem. If you're facing cancer today, the name of Jesus is above the name of cancer. If you're facing death today, Jesus' name is above your debts. If you're facing disease and sickness, Jesus is above those sickness and disease. If you're facing relational problems today, or hopelessness, or anxiety, Jesus' name is above all those problems and situation, because God made him Kurios and Christos, Lord, Master, and Savior for all situation. And you can call on his name, the name above all names. Jesus' name is given to us. Savior, the power of the gospel. Who Jesus is, God who became man. What he did for us, he lived a sinless life. He died to become a ransom for us. He rose again to prove every claim that he had, he was a son of God. And that's why God made him both Lord and Christ. So, because of that, okay, Pastor, so what? What does it mean for you and for me? What does that mean? So what? What do we need to do? What do we need to do with the fact that Jesus Christ died, rose again, and God made him Lord and Christ and Savior? Well, let's look at verse 37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They understood that they were the ones who crucified Jesus Christ. And they asked Peter, okay, Peter, what do we do now? Understanding who Jesus is, what he did, and what God made him to be. What do we do now? Brothers, what should we do? He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Everyone, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gave us two things. What do we need to do? Two things. Repent. Repent and receive forgiveness. Repent. Now, what does repent mean? You probably heard that repent is a change of mind, right? That results in change of action. That's from the Greek, the metanoia. But the original word for repent comes literally from Latin, from two Latin terms. Pentir, which means to think, and re, which means again. So repentir, to think again. To think again. In other words, if you are thinking that your good works, that coming to church, or that maybe you're not as bad as someone else, will be the basis for your salvation or for God accepting you or leading you, for you to enter into heaven, well, let me tell you, think again. Think again. If you're thinking that, okay, I'm in a lot of problem right now, but it's probably my, you know, my friends or my connections or my bank account, right? Or my skill or my knowledge that will get me out of this situation, think again. Repentir. If you're thinking right now that maybe I'll just postpone this decision one day. Maybe pag matanda na ako, or maybe when I'm in my deathbed, that's the only time I will think of salvation or giving my life to Jesus Christ. You better think again. Because you don't know when God will call you to account. Think again. Repent. Change your mind. Think again. And when you think again, when you repent, God gives us, allows us to experience being born again, changing us from the inside out. That's the only way for us. Because let me tell you, apart from God changing us from the inside out, all of us will sin. All of us will steal. Let me pose this thought on your mind. If there are no consequences, if you will not get caught, if there are no consequences for your action, if no one will find out, if you steal 1 billion, no one will find out, you will not get caught, there are no consequences, will you do it? Will you do it? Our sinful nature will automatically do it. The restraints, the consequences are what keeps us from doing it. Because in the inside, that's a sinful nature. But when we repent, when we change, when we think again, God gives us a new heart where it doesn't matter whether we will get caught or not. We will choose. We have been given the capacity to choose life, to choose Christ, to choose not to sin. You know, I have a small group. In my small group, something interesting. It's a little weird setup because one of the couples in my small group used to be a heavy drug user. Okay, when he was still in college in Ateneo, to support his vice, yung bisyo niya, nagbibenta rin siya sa mga kaklase niya. Okay? And so, but God supernaturally changed him, okay? Got him, okay? And he repented. He thought again. There was a change. He experienced a transformation in his heart. And so he gave his vice away. But you know what's interesting? May isang younger couple who joined our small group. And it so happened that yun yung isang couple, at least yung guy, na binibentahan niya ng drugs before. And when that guy found out that he got born again, that he now is serving God, he said, there must really be a God. I want to join your small group. And now, I mean, both of them are, you know, being disciples, and being used by God. But it all started with repentir, when they thought again, think again. Amen? Now, repent. And secondly is forgiveness. Say that to me, forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness is actually the reset button for you and for me. If you've ever thought of, you know, if you ever had regrets about certain decisions in your life, I wish I could change this. I wish I could start over. Forgiveness is that. It's a reset button so that you can start over. Reset. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter what sin you have committed. The forgiveness of God is so deep that it can reach down to the deepest sin that you have kept. The deepest secret, He can reach down and fill your heart with love and with forgiveness. Doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Christ is more powerful than that. Look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 11 to 13. Well, let me read verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed. When He forgives us, He removes the sin and remembers it no more. He forgets our sin. Now, when I read this, sometimes you think that the Bible contradicts itself, right? Because the Bible says that God knows all things, right? God remembers everything. God remembers the deeds, all the deeds. In fact, there's a book of remembrance in the book of Revelations. So how can God forget and remember at the same time? Well, it's because whatever deep sin that you have committed, God has chosen to overlook that by the blood of Christ. This is your sin. It's covered by the blood of Christ. And when he sees you, he sees not your sin, but he sees the blood of Christ. That's overlooking. That's why the Bible says he remembers your sin no more. He overlooks because he sees the blood of Christ covering your sin. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers it no more. I've counseled people who have murdered, who have killed, who have a lot of things, vile things. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is transformation and change in Jesus Christ. That is the power of the gospel. Let me try to end with this story as I wrap this up. In my leadership group before, there was one of our Victory group leaders shared this testimony that he was a businessman who had a contractor in real estate, you know, buy and sell, or build and sell rather. But there was a time where his business was so bad. There's a lot of problems with his family, with his father. His father has in this business, and he ran huge amounts of debt into tens and tens of millions of pesos. And the people were running after him, and there pressure. His family was collapsing. He was in a hopeless situation. And he was sharing that he was contemplating already because he had a gun. So he was planning that at night, okay, one of the nights, maybe in either today or tomorrow night, when their family was sleeping, he would get his gun, he would shoot his two daughters and shoot his wife and shoot himself afterwards so that, you know, lahat will not have to inherit the debt or the problems or the turmoil. He was in that case. But before he could do that, by some divine appointment and circumstance, during that time, Pastor Manny and Pastor Steve Merle were looking for a place to buy, a property to buy or to lease or to rent. And they were directed to him. And so as they met, okay, he showed them around. And then before they left, Pastor Steve prayed. Can we pray for you, Pastor Manny? And then when they prayed, he began to cry and he began to open up. And they shared the gospel to him. And he gave his life a long time ago when he was in college, but backslid. But God suddenly took a hold of him and he experienced genuine repentance to think again about his situation of hopelessness. There was forgiveness and a reset. So he gave his life. His life was transformed. His family was transformed. They became leaders in the church. They became, you know, people who were pillars in the church. From hopelessness to people who had full of hope and gave hope to others. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Transformation because of repentance and forgiveness. And listen, I hope you have a grasp of what the gospel is. And to summarize everything I shared, I want us to recite this. This is the summary of what I preached, but coming from Rice Brooks. And I want us to read this together and declare this together because this is the gospel. Amen? 1, 2, 3. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins for those who repent and believe in his name. That is the gospel. And I hope you can share it to someone this week. This declaration of Peter on this day makes Jesus the inescapable man, the inevitable man. Because one day, all of us will have to face this fact of who Jesus is, of what He did for us, and what that means. Maybe you can go home from here. Maybe you can forget this message. Maybe you just file it as something, okay. But let me tell you, one day, all of us will face Jesus. All of us will come face to face with this man who God made both Lord and Christ. And I hope when that time comes, you're ready with the right answer. Because Jesus said, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts like the time of the rebellion. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of the Lord's favor. Let me tell you, just like what Peter told during the time of Pentecost, when he declared, listen, all you house of Israel, God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And let me tell you, all of you, house of Metro East, God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. The question I leave with you is, what will you do with the fact that this Jesus is both Lord and Christ? What will you do with Jesus who is both Lord and Christ? Let's bow down and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would grant us the gift of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And I pray that this week and the weeks to come, Lord, as we grasp and understand your gospel, that let this not be just a message or a nice message, but I pray that us be able to share this to others using what you have done in our lives, our encounter with Jesus Christ, who has been made Lord and Christ. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.